Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome. Can't believe I'm going to be saying this, but welcome to another edition of Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. Yes, for those of you who don't know why I'm having trouble saying that is because I've taken a little bit of a break. I did about 117 episodes of this show, pretty much weekly. And then I decided to take a break. And I am back. And it's kind of weird doing this. I've done other projects in that time, but it's weird getting back into the feel of the Pirate Radio Show. But it's nice to be back, don't get me wrong. This is the show I've always kind of thought was my personal show. This is the show where I really get to speak my mind and you know, convey what I'm feeling. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's not such a good thing. But I've always liked that people have, you know, told me, you know, I think it's brave of what you do. And thank you for doing what you do. And I may not have a big broadcasting, you know, audience, but I appreciate every person who takes the time to press play and check out what's, you know, I've got to say today. And again, thank you very much for taking the chance on this show, whether you're a first-time listener or you've checked out other one of my shows that I've done in the past. That being said, I'm kind of billing this as the show nobody wanted back. Nobody wanted back except me and maybe Corda. You know, I'm sure a couple of my friends will be happy to see that I'm podcasting again. The reason I say it's the show nobody wanted back is because when I told people I was taking a break, nobody said, oh, you know, it was multiply disappointed. I had a few people telling me, yeah, well, sometimes it's a good thing to take a break and recharge my batteries, which, I don't know, just helped me make that decision a lot easier. It kind of actually kind of made me laugh. It depressed me too, I won't lie. You know, but at the same time, I wound up laughing about it because, you know, it's like nobody wants this show back. But hey, here it is anyhow. And I'm hoping to bring it back monthly or every couple of weeks. It's still going to drop on Thursdays because I want to keep that. I don't think it'll be a weekly show anymore, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I talked about a lot of stuff in those 118, and I'll talk about more stuff now. I do have a couple other projects I'm working on that thankfully have found me my way. Number one is a wonderful show I do on YouTube with a friend of mine, Damian Troutman. It's called The Damian and Devlin Show. Very proud of this. This actually came in the hiatus when you know, I decided I was going to take a break from the podcasting. Damien came up to me and said, hey, you know, we love watching movies together. What are your thoughts of doing a podcast where we talk about movies after we watch them? Because we always talk about movies after we watch them, and I love the idea. And we took it one step further. He came up with the idea of actually filming it and putting it on YouTube. So it's not really a podcast. I guess you could listen to it as a podcast. But we've been doing that, and I've been very happy with the success of it so far, and happy with the quantity, and love working with him. Damien has rejuvenated me in a lot of ways, and I thank him for that. And I hope we get to do this for years and years and years. I wish we could become viral and do this as a job, or find a way to get a grant to do this, because it's so much fun to do it. And it's been spurring my love of movies, and I think he said that too. I've also kind of started doing a half-hour show that I drop on Fridays on my page, Mondo Nostalgia, which is going strong. And it's called the Mondo Nostalgia Radio, where I basically do a half-hour of current entertainment news, but it's got a nostalgic twist to it. And I really like doing that. It's kind of different. I do a lot of research for it, try to get lots of information for you, and then also spew my views. And so now that I'm back, I'm going to try to throw in some pirate radio show. It might not be as filled with entertainment as it did before. Not general entertainment, but like movie news, TV news. But if I do have like a topic that maybe it might take a little longer to talk about, this might be the forum I use. As you know, my old show used to have, I used to talk about how I felt things going around town and, interviewed people. And then, I'd just talk about what I felt like. It could be comedic, it could be anything. And so it's good to be back. Before I get into like talking about stuff, I want to tell you that I did have a bit of an anxiety situation. And that's one of the reasons I have taken a break from this platform. I can't really go into it a lot. It's just I was doing really good at the beginning of the summer, and then the second half of the summer really just, I don't know, the wind came out of my sails. And I didn't plummet into a really dark, dark thing, but it was close. It was really not good. I'm going through a lot of things that I'm not going to spend the time to talk about right now. A little bit I will. I'm going through a lot. I think, I hate to say it's like midlife crisis, because I'm past midlife. I'm 49, and I'm going to be 50 in a couple of months. And I've been obsessing. If you're a regular viewer, I've been obsessing with it, deciding what I'm going to do. I talked about the living funeral. I talked about having a big party. Now I'm thinking of doing a nomad's journey where I just disappear for the day and, just kind of wander. I don't know what's going to happen. It could all change next week. You know me. But, I kind of, just kind of had a little bit of a, I just kind of needed to step away. And in some ways, it's rejuvenated me. I also have a monologue show that I'm putting together for November. I've been working on that too. It's a really lighthearted show, so that helps a lot. It's not like deep, dark things. It's a Christmas show, so there's a lot of light entertainment in there. There's some heartwarming stuff, and as always, there's something there that'll be a little more than just, me talking about Christmas and stuff, because I always look at the emotional side of things. Anxiety is a funny thing. And I've been thinking about it a lot, and I don't really know how to say it. I'll be honest with you, and I know people with anxiety are probably feel this too. I don't think everybody thinks that I actually have anxiety. I do. I get the chest pains. I get lots of things that I can't explain. I get moments where I just want to throw myself off my balcony. But I'm starting to think people aren't necessarily always believing me. And it's not just people that don't know me that well. I'm actually starting to question whether even people that, are really close to me, believe me. I think they think I just use it as an excuse. I think they sometimes think that, oh, okay, well, you seem to be blaming me a lot for your anxiety. I don't think that's fair. Just a line like that can send me in a crazy place, because it's like, right there, you're trying to tell me that I have control over my anxiety. The fact that you're saying that I'm using you as my anxiety, that tells me right there that you don't necessarily believe me, because you're telling me that I just pick and choose what causes me anxiety. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. And I understand if you don't deal with it, but when it's people that deal with anxiety, or they have other people's in their lives with anxiety, and they say this to me, it kind of bothers me in a little bit. I'm starting to think, I'm trying to find ways to deal with my anxiety, because I'm starting to realize that the world, as much as they put as many mental health things on their social media and stuff like that, I don't think people get it. And I think that the people that do get it don't want to get it. And I've decided I'm trying to find ways to deal with it. I'm also trying to find ways to deal with dealing with it on my own. So many of my friends or people I know always tell me, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And I think they want to believe that. And I think it makes them feel better that they told you that. And I think in some ways they want to believe it. But then those moments when you reach out to them, you send an email of telling them exactly how you feel. You try to give them a call and you can't reach them. You try to, explain to them what you're going through and they don't text you back, knowing that that's going to increase it. It shows me that I think they want to be there for you, but I honestly think a lot of people just don't know how to be there for you. I've been a person who've always stood by people, even through the hardest times. As much as I sometimes come off as a weak person, I know I'm not, because I'm always got the broad shoulders. I'm always there. I think of the amount of people I have helped over the years in my life, and I've never turned my back on them when they were going through a hard time. And so it's been very hard that sometimes they're not doing it intentionally. It's just they don't know how to help you, but they still consistently tell you how much they're going to be there for you. So I'm kind of trying to deal with, find ways to deal it on my own, because I really feel in lots of ways in life, we are on our own. I know that's a hard thing to take. It doesn't matter how many people love you. You have to be the one to help yourself out. Now, the problem with this in some ways is if you have to deal with it alone, you might not be able to deal with it at all. I'm going to personally handle it like it's a werewolf. So when I feel myself going blue and then maybe down to black, I'm going to kind of step away from social media, step away from people. Maybe stay close to the closest ones who understand me. And then I'm basically going to tie myself up in chains until the full moon passes. And then I can be the happy, joyous, plump, fat gay man that they expect from me. The one that makes people laugh, people smile, who's always there for them, but nobody, always is there for me. So that's how I'm planning to do it. I was recently thinking about it, and anxiety for me is kind of like that scene in the original 1978 movie Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis. There is a scene in it where Jamie Lee Curtis's character is running through the neighborhood, screaming at the top of her lungs, and Michael Myers is chasing her. As if you're a fan of Halloween, he's usually walking, because he doesn't run. And she is screaming, and I don't know how they filmed it, but not one person in that neighborhood, and it is pretty much assumed that it's not that late at night, that it's supposed to be in, about 8 o'clock at night or so. There's no lights that come on, there's no doors that open to check on her, and that's how I feel anxiety is. When you have that, you have all these people that tell you, oh, don't hesitate, don't hesitate, I will be there for you. And then when it actually happens, you're screaming down a neighborhood and no doors answer. Now, I'm not saying anybody. I'm lucky that I do have a couple people who check on me, but I can tell the people who don't really know what to do, and I don't expect them to. Maybe I expect too much out of people, but that scene in Halloween to me is the perfect example of anxiety. And I know a lot of you don't want to admit that, but if you go through it, that's what it feels like. People telling you, I understand, I understand, but damn well at the end of the day, you're going to be by yourself, and damn well you're going to have to do it. So I'm going to try this werewolf thing and see how it works. As always, probably won't, but I gotta try new things. And I'm gonna try some new personal things that I think might work. So we'll see. Anyhow, I'm done talking about that right now. Now, from any of you who listened regularly, you're probably thinking, but Don, you were doing so good there. You saw that show, 13 Reasons Why, and you were afraid that that was gonna send you down a dark path, and it didn't. You were actually on a high. What happened? Well, I don't know exactly what happened. It went for good for about two, three 2 or 3 months, and I was doing good. I could start dealing with things, and then I fell big time. It happened around my brother Paul's wedding, and I'm not blaming the actual wedding, but it led to certain situations because of that. But not the actual wedding or anything. But yeah, it did kind of fuck me around a little bit, and I couldn't get back on it. I couldn't get back on it. A lot of people, even some anxiety-ridden people, actually wrote me and said, "Don, you were doing, like when I was going through the good thing, it's like, Don, what are you doing? I want to know your secret. I need it. I need to know this." And I couldn't really tell them. I said, "I got to wait to see if it works for me." And it didn't. But I'm trying to find out how to do it again because honestly, I want to get back there. So today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that because of the fact that, it was working there for a little while. I don't know why it failed, but one of the re parts of it had a lot to do with parts of it had a lot to do with, really thinking about how other people think, and not thinking that anybody in the world thinks like you at all. So, yeah, that had a big part of it, and it was really working. So I'd be like, "Well, wait a minute, maybe this person isn't, thinking like me." But then you think that sometimes people don't say the right things, or people can't say the right things. So it was really complex. But I'm gonna give you a little bit of insight on it because I read this thing. Somebody posted this on Facebook, and yes, besides all the goofy memes and stuff, they do actually post some interesting things. And somebody posted this, and I read all 8 of them. And no matter how hard it was to deal with them, this kind of helps in some ways. And so I'm going to read them to you. You may have heard this, but we're going to go through them together. And I'm hoping to redefine it because I know I was starting to believe a lot of this. And I think this helped me in a lot. So let's see how we go. We'll go step by step. This was an article called 8 Brutally Honest Truths You Need to Hear If You Want to Get Your Life Together. So let's go through it together. Number one, you are going to regret how much time you spend on social media. I love social media, and I know that there are times that I've become depressed because of it. Not only when the world is bad and people obsess about things, but also sometimes when the world is good and people obsess. It shows you a tainted idea of life. Because you see that everybody's happy. Sometimes you see, oh my God, everybody's bitching about the same thing. It can really put you off. And I know many people who have said, sometimes I need to take a break from social media. I understand this. And when I look back, I'm not going to be looking at the things in my life where, oh, remember that time I was reading I was reading that article on social media. Or remember that time when I did that, which Simpsons character are you? Thing. I'll look at the fact that I connected with people, but it's the things that it led me to, as in a person I haven't seen in a long time. We reconnected on Facebook and we went out for a coffee and we had a great time. We laughed, we talked about old times and stuff like that. That's the stuff I'll remember about social media. But social media does affect my mood a lot, and we also are put to a weird thing because we expect immediate answers. There was a time, you'd play phone tag and leave messages on each other's answering machines, and eventually you'd get together or you'd send people letters, and then somebody would write back when they had a chance, and you'd look forward to getting that letter. And, with letters, it could be taken days, months, weeks. But now, you text somebody, and if you don't get a text back within, like 24 hours, 24 minutes, you start freaking out. What's going on? Hey, look, they're posting other stuff, but why haven't they answered mine? And so, yeah, I understand social media plays with my mind. So I try to deal with that the best way I can. I'll be talking a lot more about social media later today and some of the things I want to talk about. Number two, your reactions are the problem. You basically, that just means that you can decide how you deal with things. When bad stuff happens, you actually have the power to is basically you have the power to turn it into a bad situation or turn it into a good situation. When I was going through that period of working really good, I was learning how to say, okay, that's a bad thing. Let's turn it around. Okay, obviously that person, had to cancel. They probably would rather be with me than be sick. So you deal with it that way. And I was getting really good at doing that, but sometimes you also see it the other way. I've been called an empath, which I love that because I do. It's a weird kind of empathy, but I do see that. But unfortunately, you get to see the world in the other way, and you can see when people are faking it, or when people are avoiding you and stuff like that. But you can still. It's your mind. You decide how to turn things into positive spins or just sit there and, oh, the world hates me. I hate, So yeah, that's a great one. And that's one I'm learning to do. And some days I'm better at it at others. I'm not going to lie to you. Number three, the riskiest thing you can do is avoid risks. Stop. I'm going to read the article here. Stop playing small. If you know you want to play big and stop telling yourself this is good enough. If you know deep down you would love to do, create, and have so much more, the cost of taking that risk is your long-term happiness. So basically, the riskiest thing you can do is avoid risk. Take chances. They can be big chances like starting a business, buying a house. They can be small risks like talking to that person you like, or, asking a friend, hey, you want to go for coffee? You want to go see a movie? When you avoid risks, that basically means that you're not participating in life. I've said it many times on my show before. Life is a contact sport. You have every right to do this. And, you should. So, take chances. They don't have to be groundbreaking. But if you want to do those, that's great. Just remember that, you risk stuff when you do it, but you risk even more if you don't take those risks. So number four, you should always have enough money for what matters. This is interesting because, I like this. I've never been a money sort of person. I don't really live hand to mouth. Like, I think that's what it's called, where you just have enough money to survive. And then that I've always had money, a little bit of money in savings. I'm not saying I'm a Rockefeller by any means, but I don't spend a lot. I do buy little toys and movies and stuff like that. And I like to go out once in a while, but I'm not one to like drop $100 on a meal or something like that. But anyhow, what they're trying to say is don't deny yourself so much. If you get opportunities that are cost, really think about it. 'Cause I actually turned down an opportunity. I won't go into details, but it wasn't all that much money when I thought about it. But at the time I was like, unemployed and I decided not to do it. And I don't do regrets that often, but if I had them, this would be one of those cases. And it really kind of shook me up a bit when I thought about how stupid I was for not. I don't put a lot of things on my credit card. My credit card is basically for emergencies. But every once in a while, I got to remember I am important too. And I should have really took this opportunity, even if I had to put it on my Visa, just because it is something I think would have been a good opportunity for me. And that. So sometimes treat yourself and, if you want the finer things in life, but don't have a job that gives you that, then you find a way to save money. Think about, sometimes you're paying, several, dollars for that, coffee that you buy. Instead of buying a regular coffee, you get one of those Mocha Chuca, Capri, caramel, every name in the book coffee that costs about $6, $7 at Starbucks. Hey, and if that's the treat you want, then by all means get it. But don't be kicking yourself when you said, geez, if I saved that money for 6 months, I could have probably gotten that bigger item that I wanted. So treat yourself, but remember that, don't go into debt for it, but also don't always, tell yourself you can't afford it. You can't afford it. There's always a way you can put a little money away and do those things, like a vacation or something like that. Number five, this is a good one, a hard one for me. People are going to hate you no matter what you do. And that's true. It's taken me a long time to learn. I always try to get along with people, and when I was younger, it drove me crazy when people didn't like me. And I tried everything to jump hoops and do everything to make them like me, and it wouldn't work. And now I'm at the age where I realize that it's them. Sometimes people just don't gel with you. And that's not, I don't want to stop being myself. So now I be myself, and I let them, if they want to be part of my life, or if they don't, then that's it, And yeah, and people are, some people just are miserable people, and they are not going to gel with you all the time. And they might, you might be flamboyant and full of life, but they're not going to see you that way because they see everything in the world negatively. So I'm getting better on this one, because I don't care that people don't like me anymore. I know a lot of people do love me, and listen to me, Mr. Ego here. And that's all that matters to me. And number six, blaming only makes you weaker. This is something I am really doing better with, like a lot better. And this is one thing that is, I used to be the kind that if something happened, I would try to lay blame on everything. I was late. Oh, I'm going to blame the bus. If I, missed, the opportunity or a phone call or chance to go out with people, I'd blame something out there. Oh, fucking work or something like that, Now I just don't, because blaming does make you weaker. I hate now. I have friends that blame everything else, and they never take the blame. I now take the blame. Robbie Williams had a song that said, I can't remember the lyric, but it was kind of like, I'll just take responsibility. It's easier that way, even if you didn't do it. I apologize, for Vietnam. I apologize for the Great Depression, even if stuff you weren't there for. But no, in hindsight, I now realize, okay, if I'm late, is it really the bus's system? Sometimes you can blame the bus, but honestly, sometimes it was just like, yeah, I could have been at the bus stop earlier and caught an earlier bus, and I should have been. So I really pick and choose who's to blame. And if I think, okay, I could blame a situation here, but there is some blame to be put on me here too. So I'm really getting good at that one. And I think you have to take the blame for a lot of stuff, because a lot of people try to push it on others, and a lot of times it isn't. So we're almost there. Seven, people don't think of you as much as you think they do. This was the hardest one in this, but I realized it's true. Oh. Well, I think constantly about people. A lot of people I think about all the time, my true loved ones in my life. And it kills me when I realize that they're not thinking about me as much as they do. And I try to wrap my heads around moments when I know they're thinking about me. When they tell me in emails or on the phone or just in person, tell me, yeah, I miss you too. There was a part of me that was always telling me, they're just telling you that. They don't really think of you that way. So I'm really starting to realize that yes, people have other things to think about. They have their own lives. They have work. They have their chores. They have groceries to do. They have other people in their lives they have to think of. It doesn't mean they don't think about you. This is so hard because of the fact that I think of them so much, but it comes down to doesn't mean that they have to think about me all the time either, even though I think about them constantly, and I'm always worried about them and stuff. I am trying to get better with this one. It's not easy for me. It's basically, everybody thinks the world revolves around them, and we got to realize that it's just not true. And it, that's this one's a tough one for me, but I as I said, I'm working on all these. I really am. And I'll keep working on them. This one is a tough one. This one, if you want to look at a positive spin, I used to like, I'll use my brother, for example, my brother Paul. If he's listening, I'm not trying to, point fingers at you, but here's the situation. We'd get into a fight, over the phone or something. Big Barney, the whole works. I'd hold on to it for weeks. And when I had to go to make a phone call to him again, I thought, oh, this is going to be awkward. This is going to be just thing. And then when I talked to him, he's like, hey, how's it going? How you been? And I'm like, he hasn't been thinking about this at all. I've sitting here wasted time worrying. And he's just like been like, yeah. Oh, did we have a fight the last time? I'm not sure. I know a situation like this happened. And then it's not just him. It happens with other things. You hold on to that anger and they're going on with their lives. And then the next time you see them, you realize that they don't even think of you. Like they might have been upset a little bit after the fight, but after that, they just moved on to their lives and didn't care about you. This really kills me because as humans, I think we need to think about each other more, but I understand lots of stuff get in the way. And finally, not even the perfect relationship is going to complete you. This is so true. So many people think that when they're, sorry, I'm drinking water and it didn't go down. So many people think that just because they have found the perfect person and stuff, that that's going to be, oh, I'm so good. I'm in a happy relationship. I'm not. You need to still keep growing. You need to have other relationships. The big problem nowadays is that when people get into these relationships where they get married in relation, a lot of times they cut off people, other friends, their significant other finds ways to get them to cut. If you're in a relationship where you've got somebody who's trying to get you to stop seeing friends, this is not a positive relationship. When you decide to do it yourself, it's not a positive relationship unless you're doing it for the right reasons. And most of the time, you're not. And what happens is, once that relationship falls apart, you're looking for these people that you dumped. And I don't blame these people for wanting nothing to do with you after this. You need to find it. And it's not just other relationships. You need to find hobbies. You need to find things that make you grow. You can't be always doing something. So don't expect that a relationship is going to fix you because it is not. You need so much more in your life. Yeah, there's a lot of people who can get away with being in a solid relationship and that's it. But you know what? You will feel it at some point. The only way you're not going to feel it is if you're with that relationship till the last, if you or die together. But I can guarantee you will feel it if one dies before each other or if the relationship breaks up. Do not let a relationship complete you because there is so much more to who you are. These are just eight things that I learned from this article and they helped me a little bit, plus a lot of other techniques. Now I'm learning some other ones. I'm working on it. I'm not perfect yet, but I keep trying. I think Headley said that, and I will keep working on it. I'm going to take a short break and then we're going to change tones and we're going to talk about a couple of other things. Hope you're enjoying the new pirate radio show. I'm not going to have as many breaks, so we're going to just keep talking. And yeah, we'll talk more right after this quick break.
And now, before the next show starts, let's enjoy an intermission. You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn, a complete assortment of delicious candy, and a full line of cigarettes. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now. a tasty treat will double your enjoyment of the show. For your convenience, we shall keep you informed of the remaining intermission time, 3 minutes before the next show starts.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hello and welcome back to Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. It's kind of neat to be back. This is the show that I think is more me, and I'm going to still do it because of the fact that I think I need to get stuff off my chest. Yeah, I know this show isn't for everybody, but if you did press play, thank you for that. I do definitely appreciate it. Going to get a little lighthearted here a bit. Not even really. I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit, but you might find this topic funny. I do not find this topic funny, and I can't even believe I'm actually going to be talking about it. But I got some more serious stuff to talk about, so we're going to go a little lighthearted for the time being. I want to talk about people who take dumps at work. Yeah, they take shits, okay? You want the brass tacks of it all? I have noticed ever since I, you know, a couple of decades now, that there are a couple of people that, you know, some people use the bathroom and come out of the bathroom really quickly when you're at work. And then other people that, you know, go to use the bathroom, and I'm not talking on your break, and then just disappear for 15, 20 minutes. And I want to speak out about this because it drives me crazy. I am one of the old school workers who believes in, you know, I'm one of those whip me and you'll probably get a couple of extra things out of me. But, you know, like work harder and stuff like that. But I've noticed that sometimes I very seldom will go to the bathroom unless it's my break or time to go home. Of course, there's emergencies that happen, and I'm not talking about, like, number one. I'm talking about number two. But if I have to take a leak or something, you know, I'll say, can I leave the floor? And they'll say, yeah. And then I'll run up there, try to get the business done as quick as possible, and come back down. And then I'm back right there doing my work. And I notice there's a lot of people that will disappear, and they will go and sit on the toilet for, like, 15, 20 minutes. While everybody on the floor is trying to do their job as well as the missing person's job. And it just drives me crazy. I think if you have an emergency, I'm not saying you shouldn't get to go to the bathroom. That's not what I'm saying. But I think if you have to really go to the bathroom, you should be able to go do your business, sit on the throne, do your number two, and be downstairs within 5 minutes. Because if it's an emergency, like we're talking major turtling, which is, I think, the only reason you should ever ask to be, you know, go to the bathroom or something like that. Major turtling, and if you don't know what turtling is, you know, you might want to look it up. It's basically when you know that moment, like, yeah, it's the turtle head's coming out, and it's disgusting, but, you know, I'm concerned about this because I basically, first of all, I try not to take dumps at work. I'll be honest with you. If it's an emergency, you will see me running to that throne and I will use it because there, you know what it's like. There's nothing worse than when you're at work and you have that moment like, oh, it's not going to hold till after work. It's coming out. And yeah, I'll go use it. Of course, I'm like everybody else. I'd rather be at my toilet at home. I don't like to be in strange washrooms. I'm not like a germaphobe or anything. It's just, sometimes it just doesn't feel right when you're sitting on a toilet because, you know, the one at home you got used to, it's the right height, you know, your legs are the perfect way, you know, you've got, but when you start going, oh, this is just a little too low, or, you know what it's like. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But If it's an emergency, I'm up there, I'm done my business, okay, I want to get back on the floor as soon as possible. Sometimes I actually see people go in there, and they must be in there reading, or they've got their phones, because they're in there for 20 minutes. That's not an emergency bathroom break. That's just a thing. Now, I know sometimes it takes a little bit more. Like, sometimes I sit on the toilet, and you just can't. It's not coming, but you know it's coming. But I still think you're looking at about 7 minutes max. Then you just, you know, shit or get off the pot. That's an old saying that they used to say, and I think they should have that sign in employees' washrooms again, shit or get off the pot. Because I think nowadays people take their phones in there and they're like texting or doing their, you know, what Buffy the Vampire Slayer character am I? And I just don't like it because the rest of us are on the floor and we have to make up for you. And yeah, I know you're a rebel. You're a shitting rebel. But, you know, get your act together. Unless you're turtling, it's not an emergency. So save it for your break, save it for your lunch. Just had to get that off my chest because it drives me crazy when I see people doing that. Yeah, I know. I talked about shitting. Sorry. We'll move on. I want to talk about something a little darker now. I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about this or not, but I figure with my new pirate radio show, I'm just going to go and just speak my mind, especially if it's in my head or even worse, in my heart. I actually had to block a friend on Facebook. Now, I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to point people out because I'm not that. I've never been that kind of person, and I'm not going to start now. But I hated having to do it. I hated it even more because it was somebody that I cared about very much, somebody I loved and grew up with, and I had to do it. And there is the remote possibility that they might be listening right now, and I'm sorry, but it's my story to tell. And I'm telling this not to shame them. That's why I'm not like pointing fingers or revealing names. I'm doing it because I want people to learn that it's okay. It's okay to block people. I've never had to do it before, and it broke my heart to have to do it to somebody I actually cared about. I'll try to tell the situation in a nutshell. Basically, the reason why I said the person might be listening is because I know they listen to my show. They might actually be pissed off with me now, so they might not listen to this. So that's fine. Either way, if they stumble upon it, I hope they really get to listen to my words because they certainly weren't listening to my emails. But anyhow, basically what happened is I had a podcast with one of my friends who, basically, in the podcast, he mentioned the name of a person we grew up with, and I adored the person, but he did not. And he just made a snide comment about him, and it was inappropriate, but it was his opinion. Now, I shut that conversation down immediately and took it into a different direction. I felt that was very professional of me, and I felt that that was the way to deal with it at the time. I have no regrets. I still think I did the right thing. I think this person wanted me to reprimand them and say, you have no right to talk to him like that. Like, really to be stern with him. But I don't think that's the kind of show I present. I want people to feel like they are my guest. And I decided not to do that. I just shut down the topic. We moved on. That was my way of saying, I don't want to hear any more of that. And the topic never came up, so it worked. You know, it wasn't that the person was adamant to talk about it, it's just something that came up. So I got a letter from this person who just basically ranted and said, you know, that the person, you know, was literally like a piece of garbage, was nothingness, was doesn't belong in the world and can't believe that they would do it on like a two-bit radio podcast. And this whole letter came to me, but I felt that they were angry mostly at the person who said the thing. There was nothing about it, about me and the anger that they had about towards me. So I didn't answer it because I felt, okay, his problem was with my guest, and that's it. And so I didn't mention it. I did not answer it because I felt, well, if you called me out that I should have said something, I would have asked, but there was nothing in that. I think I dealt with it the best way possible. So I didn't hear from this guy for a little while. And then it turned out to be his birthday, so I sent him a little note like I do every year, and told him I missed him and I cared about him and stuff. And basically I got a response saying, why? Pourquoi? It was basically, why take the time? I didn't know what it was about. I thought it might have something to do with that. Maybe I was being dumb, but I just didn't really respond to it. Then I wrote something about, I can't remember the exact status, but I wrote something. And this person just kind of mocked me, like big capital letters. I think it was something like the status was don't waste time, tell people how you feel, which anybody who knows me knows I live by these words. And big mocking letters, don't waste time. And I decided to write a letter and say, look, if you have a problem with me, instead of these backhanded comments or mocking me, or why don't you just tell me, like we're grown individuals, we're not kids anymore. And I said, if you have a problem, please let me know and we'll talk it out. And I got a letter almost immediately, basically reprimanding me for not sticking up for him, and basically that I probably make fun of him as well. And I, he asked me point blank, do you mock me as well? Like, did you guys laugh at me after that interview was done? And I told him, no, I shut down the situation. I thought that was the way. Me and this guy always had a relationship that nobody else understood, and I didn't feel the need to understand them to understand it because it was a very special friendship that we had. And I knew that my friends didn't understand it, but I always understood it, and the other guy understood it. That's all that mattered to me. I didn't need them to understand it. They may say negative stuff about him, but they never, I never like, I might have agreed if I agreed with their opinion, but I never didn't defend the person to them. But I didn't, I don't care if they don't get the relationship we had. So I told them that. I explained, I chose not to be defensive because I don't run a podcast where I confront my guests. Like, I don't want to hear that crap, but that's what he wanted from me. So I explained it the best I could and how I dealt with it. And, I said, they've made off comments now and again, but I said, I'll be honest with you, my friends have never were as venomous about than what he had said earlier on about, complete nothingness, useless, in this world, will never amount to anything. They have had opinions about you, but I wrote him and said, but they never said that you don't belong in this world, or not even that I shouldn't be friends with you anymore. Like, they have never ever said those words to me. And I said, they were never as venomous as me. And I said, and I might agree with some of the things they said, but a lot of times I don't even respond to them because of the fact that, again, I don't care if they don't get what we had. And I don't care if they do. But I have a relationship with them too. So they know. And quite frankly, they never understood why I'd always defend him. But I don't care because I knew why I did because we had a very special bond. So then I got another thing. The next letter came in, and basically I could tell he was very offended at, the fact that I didn't stick up and I didn't reprimand him on the radio show. And I remember there was a thing that said, actions. I want actions, not words. Your words are pretty, but I want actions, not words. So when I went to construct my next email, first of all, I went back a couple times and looked at the previous emails. He may see it from a different way, and that's fine. He's allowed to. But from what I saw it, is I was always had a positive spin on my emails. He had a couple of positive things, but he always brought it back to anger and negativity. And I didn't like that. So I wrote back and I decided, okay, well, he wants actions and words. Let me think of all the stuff that I did in this relationship after we got separated, because we don't see each other on a regular basis. He moved away. So we only communicate, you know, when he's in town or through emails. And I realized I went through and came up with 7 or 8 basic actions that I did that moved this friendship forward. And I, as I was writing it, my confidence was building, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, everything I did was to bridge this relationship together. I did all the work. I did all the actions. So after I wrote all the stuff I did, I basically said that there's my actions. I'm starting to think about it, and I maybe should be waiting from actions from you, because I actually did most of the work bridging this relationship. And then he wrote back to me. Oh, I also made a comment that even though, you know, he may hate these people stuck by me when I was dealing with stuff in my 20s. Suicidal attempts, depression, cutting, coming to terms with the fact that I was, sexually abused as a child. And these people didn't leave me. They stayed by my side and helped me through things. There wasn't much to be said about the deeds. Basically, the actions, he basically wrote that I didn't realize you wanted to be that close, which I don't know what he was thinking, because I had always told him exactly how I felt about him. And so that was stupid. He knew that I wish he lived closer and we could see each other and be friends and stuff. So I didn't get that. But the breaking straw was when he basically said, he tried to put it in a positive way, but it wasn't. It basically said something to the point, well, you have every right to defend your friends if you really needed them going through those times, having to hold your hand. Here's a person I care about who's basically telling me that I'm weak because I needed friends to help me through dark times. That was the breaking straw. I decided at that point that I was going to just walk away for a few hours and figure out my next email. I posted a song, Meryl Streep singing ABBA's The Winner Takes It All. And in my status, I made it very clear that when a friendship dies, and I've always believed this about that ABBA song, if you actually listen to the lyrics, both parties, when a friendship ends, basically make it sound like we're both the winners, but we're actually both losers at the same time. You don't feel good, even if you think you're a winner. And the song to me says that, wow, I think I've won this. The other person thinks they won it, but in reality, neither of us have won it. And I posted that saying that that's what it meant to me. I went off and had a really great day with two of the most important men in my life right now. And I had a fantastic time. When I came home, I basically had a short message that just said, I thought you wanted to talk about this. Or did the winner take it all? It reminded me again that we weren't even having these emails except for the fact that I was the mature one to deal with this. And basically, I decided at that point I was done being 17 years old again. I am going to be 50 in a couple of months. And I was being brought down to this feeling like I was this little teenager who was weak. And I'm not that anymore. I am strong. I was helped by friends. I was helped by him. But in reality, at the end of the day, it was me that built my strength, and I was done with this. I decided I'd quickly block him and end this thing once and for all, and it was heartbreaking. It was not easy. Facebook even had a thing pop up and said, are you sure you want to block this? Because of the fact that you might want to just take a break, but I knew it was over. When I reread the emails over and over again, and I didn't do it lightly, I actually looked, and all my emails stood strong but stayed positive. His were a little bit of positivity, and the rest were just venomous. And I decided he's not going to get under my skin anymore in a bad way, and I blocked him. No breaks. That's done. If by chance he is listening, he's probably seething right now, and you have every right, because you probably see it totally different, and that's fine. You can tell your friends or whoever you want to your side of the story. I'm telling mine because that's the way I see it. That's the way I see it, but you have every right to it. I still care about you. I still love you, and I still thank you for all the stuff you did for me. And I wish it didn't have to end like this. But it shouldn't have had to end at all. But I wish you nothing but the best. And I hope everything is good with you. And I hope one day we can clear this up. It won't be anytime soon, though. But if you are listening, if you've stumbled on this and you're listening, and yes, you might be seething right now, but please hear these words that I do thank you for everything you did for me. You played a big part in my development in my life, and you led me to places that I had to do myself to get here. And sadly, one of them was having to block you and realize that you kept saying over and over, I wonder in your emails, I wonder if you even realize how intense our friendship was. The fact that you constantly had to ask me if I realized it, I never stopped realizing it. That's why I was trying to fight for this. But when it got to the point where you weren't even trying to be positive anymore, to me, you already had ended it. You were just looking for me to become the strong one and do the blocking. And I did it. Again, I'm sorry it had to wind up like this. And I still, honestly, I still think of you and I smile. And that might make you seethe more, but I still realize the importance of the friendship we had. And the love that we shared. I hope you do too. Well, we're going to move on. I'm almost done. I'm not going to end off lighthearted. I'm on a roll here. Except for the shitting at work, which I don't know what came from. But I know I had it. I want to talk about it so long. While we're on social media. Oh, and by the way, as I said, I never did that just to point him out. The reason I did that was because I want people to know that if they have a relationship where they're feeling at the end of the day that they're either doing all the work or it's a toxic relationship, it's okay to block someone. It's okay to do that. Sometimes you have to do it for your sanity. It was the toughest thing I've had to do in my life. I've never even had to block anyone. I've unfriended some people. I've stopped following them. But I've never blocked someone. And sometimes you have to. Anyhow, I want to end with some Facebook notes. I've been doing some little notes in my head. And I don't know, this might be a reoccurring thing. As you see, I haven't done real segments like I used to do. I just want to ramble and chat and stuff. I'm going to keep writing stuff. I do plan to do the show. As I said, it might be monthly. And I do still plan to have guests, because that was my favorite part of this show. Old guests that I want to come back. I've also got a couple of new ones that I'm eyeing that I think would be amazing. And I love that kind of stuff. Social media. I mentioned it a couple times, just talking about having to block a friend and the fact that in that thing it says you're going to regret the time you spent on social media. But I think that Facebook is actually a place that we can actually learn people, learn about people through social media. So this is a positive thing. Not all of this is going to be happy talk, but this is what I see. And these are my opinions. And if you choose to believe them, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay too. But I think if you look at them, you'll really understand what I'm doing. Okay. So anyhow, if you see people posting stuff about mental health, okay, you know, they might put a meme up about, you know, people don't understand mental health. People don't understand anxiety. I try not to post stuff like that. I will post it to my status if I'm going through it. But when you post these things, you're basically the only people who care about these are the people that have anxiety and understand them. They're not necessarily people that are going to reach out to you. They'll just understand. A lot of people will actually kind of back away from you because of it, because they're not ready to deal with this. You know, even though they might tell you, I'm here for you, it's like I said before, they're not really. And it's not a bad thing, because some people just can't deal with that. But the fact of the matter is, most of them wouldn't even try, even if they had a chance. So when you put up stuff like that, it's just basically saying, yeah, this is what I'm going through. I want you to understand that. Some people are happy that you're telling them that, but some of them are happy that you're telling them that so they know to stay away from you. Okay? When people announce that they're going to unfriend people, it's time to do a cleaning. These are probably people in real life you don't want to be near. And I might be being controversial here, but the truth of the matter is I have never really unfriended that many people. I've unfollowed people so I don't have to see if they have a lot of negative status. I know people have unfollowed me. I'm okay with that. But when you see people that physically announce that, you know, this is just basically them saying, okay, just so you know, I'm getting rid of people I don't need in my life, and you might be one of them. So in the next couple of days, if I don't see your name, that means I wasn't one of the worthy ones. Now, if you want to do that, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? I have no problem with people cleansing their friends and stuff. It's when you announce it, you're being a bit of a douche, because basically you're saying, I'm important, you are not. I am going to trim the people that are no longer important to me, and you will know about it because I'm announcing it to you. Instead of that, why don't you just do it? Just do it, don't announce it. Because I'll tell you, these are the kind of people that you don't want to be your friends, because they're going to drop you at any turn. Because if they're willing to announce they're getting rid of a whole bunch of people that don't mean anything to them, do you really think they're going to stick around if you don't agree with every single thing they say? Social media is a great way to learn how people think. So look out for that. And if you're doing it yourself, stop it. Just unfriend a whole bunch of people. If I offended you right now, unfriend me. I'm okay with that. I'll be upset a little bit, but not too much. I'll get over it. Unless I really, really care about you, then I'll probably grovel and want to come back. But people who, now I don't have all my notes in front of me, so I'm just winging it. Yeah, oh my God, it's gone out of my head. People, oh my God. Oh, bandwagons. Sometimes, you know, Donald Trump will do something and all I read in my newsfeed is people reacting to it. You have every right to react to it. I'm fine. I'll just scroll past it. If you start really posting stuff, I might unfollow you. I won't unfriend you. I'll unfollow you. But People do this sometimes to jump on the bandwagon. Sometimes I read really interesting things on Facebook. Other times it's absolutely crap. Some people post stuff, they don't even know what they're posting about. I will not post about anything that I don't read up to. If a celebrity dies, I'm going to check that they're actually dead and not died 2 years ago. I'll actually see if they're dead. You know, people have been posting stuff and they weren't even dead yet. It's just horrible. But, you know, don't jump on bandwagons. You know, sometimes they're fun. You know, oh, we're going to put a banner for this country. But usually what happens is that then somebody will find a way to take a negative turn and say, oh, well, you protested the terrorist act that happened in France, but did you know that this was happening in Israel right now, or this was happening in another small country? You should be paying tribute to that. Why set yourself up for that? It's those people that you really got to think. So be careful what bandwagon. I'm not saying you shouldn't join a bandwagon and protest like everybody else. Just know your material, know what you're protesting, and be ready to deal with the trolls because they're coming. I'll just skip by it. No interest in that whatsoever. Oh my God, I'm forgetting everything here. Oh well, maybe I'll just do it in parts when I think of them. I used to have a whole string of them that, you know, how you can tell a person just from their social media, you know. I can't think of any. So, you know, I one more I'll leave you with is people who have to post on everything. I like that some people have come, like I know a couple people I know that will only post with comments. They won't like things. They won't use any of the emoticons. If they truly believe in something, they will comment or send you an email or something. And I respect that. But then you get some people that have to post on every damn thing. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's fun. If it's, you know, humorous stuff or fun things. But when you start posting stuff, like I hate when I post a really deep status and it means a lot to me, and you can see how I crafted it. It means a lot to me. Then somebody posts a question about it. Like I remember posting something about how I wish I had friends that were more like me, like that treated me the way I treat my friends. And I remember that somebody posted something that just said, "How many friends do you need?" Okay? Like questioning the fact that I do have a lot of friends. It's like, really? Do you really need? How many friends do you need in this world? And they must have realized it wasn't the best post because I noticed it disappeared a little while later. I hope you never, whoever did this, has a kid that basically says something that you're going through a dark phase and you post something. That comment right there put me in a darker place because you didn't think about it before you did it. Yes, I've wrote statuses that I didn't think about and I've deleted them because I was like, I'm getting attacked for something that I'm just posting something. Sometimes I post statuses I don't want comments on. I want people to either not comment or agree with me. Sometimes I like a good discussion on my thing. But when you post something, like you're posting, somebody posts something that means something to them, and you post something sarcastic, and I know we take sarcasm so lightly, it's become such a high-regarded art form of comedy, which I think has actually destroyed comedy a little bit. I hope you never have a kid that posts something on social media that is like they feel at the end of the rope and they post something, and you post something that's sarcastic like that. I hope your kids never have to deal with that. Because when I read that, I thought to myself, that makes me feel worse than I already did. And you must have known that it could have done that because of the fact that you took it off. I don't say that necessarily means you're a bad person, though. You know, I think that just means that it was a bad judgment call. Maybe it was a bad judgment call on me for writing that status immediately. I'm not saying you have to just post positive things. I'm just saying if I have to think about the statuses I post, I expect people to have to think about what they're going to comment on. Don't do a quick jerk reaction comment until you realize, holy shit, that guy might actually have a gun to his head. You know, I said earlier, I'm going to do one of those where I talked about something in the beginning and I'm going to wrap up the show with it. I told you I'm going to be a werewolf, that I'm going to try to deal with my anxieties alone to the point where people might not even know I'm going through anxiety, except he hasn't been on social media lately, or he hasn't been as positive. I think he might be depressed. And I'm going to handle it like a werewolf, and I'm going to do it all alone. And I think I'm going to do well with it. But keep in mind, I think there's a point where a lot of people have said this, and the problem with dealing with anxieties and stress and depression on your own is that sometimes you can fail. And I think a lot of suicides have come because they've decided, I'm not going to burden my family anymore. I'm not going to burden my friends. I'm going to make it look like everything's okay. And then one morning you realize that they were dealing with this all by themselves and they didn't make it. That's the problem with dealing with this kind of stuff alone. Sometimes you're not going to see it through. Now, I'm strong. I think I will. But hey, we'll see. Anyhow, I loved clearing the air here. I hope you listened to this. I know it took dark turns at times, but it means so much if you stuck right to it to the end. I love all of you, and thank you for supporting me, whether it's the Devlin's Pirate Radio Show, whether it's Damien and Devlin's show, whether it's Mondo Nostalgia. I can't tell you how much it means to me that you take time out of your day to support any of those. I do sincerely thank you for that. These may not be as weekly, but I don't know, something deep like this I don't think I could handle doing weekly. But I'm going to always be real and I'm going to be genuine. That's what the Pirate Radio Show is all about, and I plan to continue it. I'm not going to candy coat it. I have to fake so much in my life. I'm not going to do it here on my own podcast. If that means I don't have any viewers, so be it. One day you might stumble on this. One day when I'm old and gray, one day when I'm no longer on this planet, maybe somebody will say, hey, I feel like that too. What am I going to do about it? I will talk to you very, very soon.